Yeah.
Whenever I was covering those games in the Reds press box, you know, occasionally there'd be foul balls hit in there, and I always like had this dream or fantasy of somebody smoking a foul ball in the press box. Me in the first row, I was going to catch it. I was in a huge round of applause from the Great American Ballpark crowd. I'd hold it up for the cameras, and I'd drop it down to either a kid in a jersey or a pretty lady, and the ball players in the field would be tipping their hats at me, and it'd be great. It was just like this great opportunity. And there was one time when somebody hit a foul ball. I can't remember who it was. I was actually on the phone, and it came right at me, and I tried to backhand it, and I missed it completely. I still dropped it down to a kid in a jersey, but it was like that I missed out on the good part of what I should have done was drop the phone. I remember I was talking to my folks, drop the phone, catch the ball with two hands, you know, take in the applause and drop it down. Have you ever had those like those delusions of grandeur that would happen to you and you would make a big catch and everybody would applaud? Had you ever thought about that?
I have. I have always, maybe not to the extent you have, but I have definitely had the what if a foul ball comes my way. And I've had a few and I've missed a couple, but I've always wanted to have the one that actually came my way that I caught on the fly and could bring home to my kids and say, look what dad caught, kind of have a good little moment. But I've always been afraid of the ball would come in and I would either drop it and look stupid or it would just hit me in the head and I'd look really stupid and be injured. So, but maybe, yeah, it'd be nice to catch one because we don't get to show off our skill too often as athletes. So catching a foul ball is about as good as we can get it.
And those skills are there, I think, for each and every one of us, I'm sure. That we could
catch them. You'd think that the skill. I mean, we'll all have played baseball at some point or less, I'd like to think, or we wouldn't be covering it. But it's, one of these days, hopefully, another one will come in and I can actually catch it.
Well, I remember when I haven't covered a game at Great American Ballpark probably in 4 or 5 years. But I do remember Hal McCoy, who, for those who don't know, is a longtime Dayton Daily News writer, is a Hall of Fame baseball writer, and a guy who is, I think, legally blind, but he still is able to cover the game. And apparently somebody smoked a foul ball up to where he was, and somebody yelled at him to duck, and he ducked, and the ball hit right kind of where his head would have been in the little wall behind him, and it like made a huge dent. It was like those things are no joke, man. If you don't see it coming, it hits you, it's gonna hurt.
Definitely. And Great America Ballpark is a nice press box. It's a great spot, but balls don't generally, they do come up there, but they don't come in generally too hot. I mean, like the one you mentioned, that does happen, and it can, you know, there's other press boxes that are lower behind home plate, and I've seen some balls come in very, very, very hard. Especially when Houston's old press box, which has now been moved since then, and the Metrodome, which is no longer with us either, they were down really well in that first concourse of seats behind that, and they were coming in all the time, and you definitely had to have your head on a swivel and just not, you couldn't afford not to pay attention. And the Great American Ballpark, we've had a few come in over the years, but I don't know if I've ever seen anyone get injured or have a wall get dented or anything like that, but they do come up once in a while, especially if I've got someone, you know, some heat and they got a left-handed hitter up and they can get a hold of a ball and create some backspin, they get up there.
Well, for those of you who haven't guessed, we're talking to Mark Sheldon, who is at this very moment, we're taping this on at 12:41 Central Time on June 6th. At this very moment, maybe the most famous sports writer in the country right now. And not necessarily for all the wrong reasons, but for those who don't know, a few days ago, the Reds were playing the Giants, and Pablo Sandoval smoked one back in the press box. Mark Sheldon's computer, and destroyed it, and it was captured on TV, and I guess, at least in my world, it went viral. I don't know if it went. Yeah, it must have gone viral at some point because it was all over the place.
It really was.
Just the story, because it was funny because I know you and we've known each other for a number of years. And I know all the kind of the actors who were around you, and I know kind of what that situation must have been like, but just For those who haven't seen it, from your point of view, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I was just finishing up. Actually, the running game story, as you know, is the first version you file, you usually kind of have a very basic version of a game story done so that you could send it without quotes, so that there's something that can go up right away when the game is over. And I had already finished that. It was an 8-3 game, so the Reds were winning, and the game was pretty well in hand. I even wrote a little extra because I knew that I wasn't going to have to change too much for my write-through, the second version. And so I had a pretty good lead. I had a pretty good story together at several paragraphs. I had all the nuts and bolts of the information. All I wanted to do was wait for the end of the top of the eighth, just in case. You always want to make sure nothing changes, and you got to give yourself some leeway. So I was like, all right, at the end of the top of the eighth, after Sandoval has finished batting, because there's two outs and two strikes, I will send it as soon as the third out is made. And then at that moment, he hit a J.J. Hoover 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and it came back up. And normally when a foul ball comes our way, and as you probably have experienced as well, rule number one, close the laptop. Rule number two is either catch it or get out of the way. And in this situation, there was no way I was going to be able to catch it. And I got the little wheelie chairs that we have in the press box. I just wheeled backwards a little bit, but I forgot to close the laptop.
Oh,
and that's when it got smoked. It came right off the back of it. It closed the machine, and then came and bounced off, you know, the wall and the second row of the press box where I happened to be sitting.
Yeah, why were you sitting this? Do you usually sit in the second row? Because for most beat writers who cover the team, you usually sit in that first row for a variety of reasons. Maybe you don't get much of a better view, but at least for status reasons, a lot of people would sit down there. But why were you in the second row? Because if you were in the first row, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
I used to sit in the first row because I sat next to you in the first row many times.
Yeah, I used to sit in the first row, and when you were there, they had those little TVs and the little the little white televisions that we had. You remember that?
Right.
They would hang up on the kind of in the front of that little that facade there. And a few years ago during the playoffs, they decided that those were no longer workable, and they didn't want to have them anymore, and they took them out. The only TVs that you can actually see a replay easily are in the second row, and if you're in the first row, you have to get up and go to one of the ends of the press box to see a television replay. And I just decided I didn't care about the status anymore. I wanted the easiness to see a replay. I like the fact that where I happen to sit is right by the access point where you can just come in and out and go to the restroom or go get a drink or whatever. It just became a lot easier than going all the way around to the first row. So I just decided maybe 3 years ago to move up, and turned out to be a fateful change, I guess, in light of what happened here. So.
Well, was it Comcast Barry? I must have been. I think that was the feed that kind of went out.
For whatever reason, Fox Sports Ohio, the Reds broadcasters, from what I understand, I don't think they even did anything with it that I know of at the time. But the CSN San Francisco guy, they, you know, of course, the 5-run deficit for their side, and I think they were at that point where they're just trying to look for things to have fun with and just to make the game interesting to them. And that's when it got interesting, is I guess they had their camera up. I didn't know what they were doing or how this was going on, but they spent a lot of time with their camera in the press box. I was talking to the guy, actually the cameraman, a friend of mine from when I used to work at WLWP here in Cincinnati, and he was down by the first base side, and he had the camera in the press box, so he just left it on me.
Well, it was so there. So it's funny because Sandoval hits it back, and they're talking about something, the two announcers from San Francisco, and then they stop, and then they realized what was going on and went to you, and they show you opening your laptop, and like you knew what it was gonna look like probably.
Yeah.
You open it and you're like, you do the oh Jesus, you get up and walk away. our mutual friend Trent Rosecrans has been on the podcast a couple times. It like immediately runs over with a big like grin or jubilant look on his face, and takes out his cell phone, takes some pictures, and sends it out immediately. I got a chuckle because it was so funny, because he was laughing. He was trying to laugh with you, not at you, just because the situation was so funny. But it was like,
that's correct. He was not laughing at me. He was laughing with me. It was fine.
But you weren't laughing either. That was the point I made to him on Twitter. It's like, I know you were laughing with Mark, but he wasn't laughing much either.
Not at the moment. I mean, I can recognize the fact that it's funny. It's just one of those things, like, like you said, I knew the minute I rolled up back to the machine that it was toast. I knew it. But you just, I open it, let's have a look, let's see what was done, maybe there's a chance. And then, of course, you know, oh, man. And, I had to get up and collect myself for a second just to kind of just say, all right, especially because of the time. If it happened in the first inning, it would not have been as much of a wrenching crisis as it is that, man, I was 12 seconds away from filing my running gamer in the eighth inning, and now I have to figure out how to rewrite a gamer without a laptop and just all the other issues. How am I going to get this done? That's what it kind of was that. But I also recognize the fact that it was pretty funny. It is. It's just one of those things that happens, and you just, you know, we all have gallows humor and up there, and as you know, and things kind of strike us funny that maybe aren't funny to other people, but it was funny. I admit it. And Trent laughing did not bother me one bit.
Well, so I mean, it's funny, but this does create a crisis because, you know, you're working for MLB.com. That's, you know, for a lot of people, I imagine that's the authority. People are going to go to MLB to at least read your first lead immediately after the game, and it does create a problem for you. So when this happens and your heart's pounding, I guess, because imagine for a second it was a scary situation. Then you're kind of pissed. Then people are laughing. But you gotta get your story in. What's
correct.
What do you do? I mean, you gotta be a pro. You can't like storm out. What are your next steps? What do you do?
Yeah, it's just that becomes just laptop destruction of technique. You know, handling it. You just gotta kind of just deal with it. There's no rule book for this. But what I ended up doing was we have another writer, of course, the Giants beat writer Chris Taft, you may also be familiar with him. He used to work in Cincinnati.
Yep.
So he was doing the Giants story, and we have an editor who was doing both of our stories, and what she did was, at least for the running game story, she put Chris's version on both the Reds and the Giants site. That just was a good deal just to get a story up when the game was over. So that was one issue solved. But as far as the final gamer with the quotes and everything I had written before, it's like I said, I had a pretty good version going that I thought was going to probably, a lot of it was going to carry into the final version. I had to rewrite it. And so I co-opted the laptop that belonged to my associate reporter, Manny, who was sitting to my left and who was the guy that gave me the ball a few minutes later. So I basically said, dude, I'm taking your laptop. And he said, no problem, have at it. And so I was given his laptop, and I had some struggles with it because it was completely different than the one I'm comfortable with and the one I'm using, and I was having some struggles, but I managed to write as much of what I could remember, and then obviously whatever I thought of after that, and then added the quotes in when I went back to the clubhouse. So I was able to cobble together an okay story. Under the circumstances, I was actually happy with it. It wasn't my favorite story. It wasn't by far my worst story, so it just got done. That's like one of those things. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You just got to get it done.
What would happen if your boy Manny wasn't there? And I wonder, I mean, what do you, if you don't have a computer to use, I mean, what do you do? What would you have done, do you think?
Well, the Reds, I want to give credit to the Reds. They actually were, their IT department was going to get me a laptop as a loaner to skip to the night if I needed one. That would have been a possibility. That's actually kind of a similar thing. I had a laptop die on me once on the road when I covered the Twins in Cleveland, and the laptop just died for no reason, and I got stuck, and I spent some time worrying about that, and then that was before the smartphone days, so, but I was able to get someone to loan me a laptop and borrow theirs while they weren't using it, kind of just when they weren't using it, I could use it. But if I had to come up with another way of doing it, I probably could have written the story on either my iPad or my iPhone if I really had to.
But that wasn't your computer. That was issued to you by work, right? That wasn't your own personal.
That's a work. Yeah, that was a work computer. Yes.
Do you have to use work computers, or could you use your own if you wanted to?
I could use my own. I just never have. They're obviously a little expensive, and I'd love to, have those really fancy Apple, MacBooks or something like that, but it's just not right now feasible. So I've gotten comfortable with these ThinkPads, and this is probably my fourth or fifth one I've had in 14 seasons with MLB.com, and it's just kind of grown accustomed to them, and it's set up the way I'm gotten used to, and so I just keep using them.
So they sent you one quickly, I guess, a new one.
They were great. I got on the phone after the game ended and after the I sent my story. The next call I made was to the IT department, and I told them what happened. I sent them a picture, and they were great. The guy immediately said he was going to get to work on setting me a new one, and they had built it and put in the programs I needed to have, and they had it out to me, and it arrived on today's Friday, so it arrived Thursday morning, and so I was able to get that set up pretty quickly. And the happy ending of all this is that I was able to take damaged laptop and find a cable and hook it up to an old PC monitor that we had in the house, and I was able to see if it worked or not. And sure enough, the computer itself still, while the screen is dead, the computer itself was still working, so I could see the information on the PC screen, and I was able to pull all my files and all that stuff off of the old computer onto a zip drive and keep it. So I didn't lose all my stuff. I was really relieved.
So that is like the best possible situation for that you could still pull all that stuff off. What was your reaction like from? Because I think I saw it on Trent's Twitter, and I spent the next probably half hour on Twitter like talking about it. What kind of reaction did you get on Twitter from fans or from whoever after this that happened?
So that's the crazy thing. I have seen people lose their laptops in similar situations in the past. I've seen it happen, 14 seasons. I think I've seen it in person twice. I've heard about it happen to other people. But what made it different from what happened with me than maybe from the other people I've seen is that Twitter didn't exist when I saw it happen the last time. And yeah. I think it's just a new thing. And like you said, it kind of went viral, especially when you have a San Francisco, they're focused on it. So really, there's a lot of Twitter out there, and kind of just took off. And I was getting a lot of tweets and a lot of retweets and a lot of people sending, saying what they saw or heard. And, same with Facebook, my friends on Facebook that were watching the game. And Manny's from the Bay Area, my intern or my associate reporter. And so a lot of his friends were chiming in, and it started kind of being a thing. And I really didn't realize how much of a thing it was until I got home and I saw on television. I was watching, MLB Network and SportsCenter and things like that. And MLB.com and also retweeted it. We have a really, really good department, multimedia department. They have we have this thing called Cut 4, which is kind of the humorous type stuff and the more oddities of the game and the great plays as well. And they made a Cut 4 out of it from what the CSN crew did. And between those two, few things together, it just really took off. And like I said, credit to CSN, I guess, for having the camera on it, because they were all over it, and then we were all over it when we cut it as a video file, and then I went out on Twitter.
How was it weird for you? Because I mean, reporters typically aren't part of the story. I know Trent was last year with Brandon Phillips, and that went viral right. as well. But typically, reporters aren't part of the story, nor do they want to be part of the story. But now here you are, all over the place. Was that kind of weird for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't try to draw a lot of attention to myself, and I try to keep a low profile for the most part. And I've done only a couple of interviews about it, a couple here locally now with you. It's not how I roll usually. So I just like to do my work and do the best I can and go home. And so it's been a little different. What makes it odd is when I came to the clubhouse the following day. The Reds players were asking me about it, which was funny because Jay Bruce said he saw it from right field, and Todd Frazier was the third base, and a couple players in the dugout had seen it, and of course they watched it on TV after they got back from the ballpark. So it was an odd twist to have it kind of be with me focused on this incident. Obviously, it's just a small footnote in the grand scheme of things, but it was funny, and I think a lot of people just related to that. It was just funny. You can't help it.
Did you ever talk to Sandoval? Did you ever hear from him or hear if he had any reaction to it?
I didn't talk to him. I asked Chris Haft if he had spoken to him, and he said, yeah, he just said something. I forget what he said. It was like a one-word answer. It wasn't one of those things that really resonated, just partly because they lost the game and just the next day, I think he just kind of forgot about it. Those guys probably spend less time worrying about things like that than we worry about them coming in. Foul balls are a part of the day of the life of them. So,
I mean, you obviously have relationships with all the Reds players because you see them every day,
right?
And so they know you, and they, on some level, care about you as a person. Sandoval probably didn't give a shit at all because he doesn't know you. It's not his, right. not his problem. It's
really
not his fault.
Problem. Yeah. It's not his fault. He's a true marksman, but it wasn't his fault. He didn't, he doesn't owe me, you know, people are tweeting me saying he owes me a new laptop. Of course he doesn't. It's like, it's just like if a fan is sitting in the seats and they get caught by a foul ball, the ticket on the back says there's no legal remedy. It's a kind of an assumption of risk. When you're inside a ballpark, baseball and bats fly around and you have to be ready for it. And I'm just thankful I wasn't hurt. I'm thankful that no one in the press box was hurt. And I'm always cringing when I see a family, you know, down by the dugout or down by the rail, and they're not paying attention or having a good old time, or they're not really watching the game, and a guy will pull a line drive foul ball that way, and you just hope no one ever gets hurt. That's the real serious part of this, is you just don't want anyone to get hurt by a foul ball, and you just want to make sure everyone's safe, and that's the best thing if people are paying attention.
And then, of course, you know, the icing on the cake was Keith Olbermann, and you were it's the worst person in the sports world for that day.
Correct.
Which is just outstanding. But not for
that was amazing. It was really funny.
Not for like the fact your laptop was destroyed. It was for something completely different.
It was. I got to give credit. Number one, it was someone told me that it was coming because they tweeted they saw the live version of the show, and I hadn't been home yet. I was still on my way home. It was the following. So the ball hit me on Tuesday at the laptop. This was Wednesday. And so I get a tweet saying, oh, you're the worst person in the sports world. Congratulations. Something like that. And I'm like, oh God, you know? And so then, but then I said something, and then someone wrote the next tweet was Chariots of Fire? ? And now I'm really trying to figure out what was going on, because I didn't remember what ended up happening is that he draw attention to the fact that John Wise, another Cincinnati native, who had a website called One Great Season a few years ago, did a polling with sports writers, and one of the questions, what's your favorite sports movie? And I mentioned I like Chariots of Fire and Slapshot. Well, the reason why I became the worst person in the sports world, according to Keith, was that I should have picked The Natural, because then he shows the shot of Roy Hobbs hitting the foul ball into the behind home plate and hitting Robert Duvall, smashing the window and his typewriter. So that's why I should have picked The Natural for that series. And that, in a very humorous and a very roundabout way, which was very hilarious, he made me the worst person in the sports world. And then today I come to find out on the not top 10 of SportsCenter, I'm number one. So so it's been quite a week.
I love that the San Francisco Giants announcer broke it down and made sure it was like, you want to see Hangdog, this is Hangdog. It was like, he should have got out like his pen and like circled you and like, it really broke down the X's and O's of it all. Oh my God, it was so funny. What are you going to do with the ball? I assume you still have the ball. What are you going to do with it?
You know, right now the ball is sitting in a cup holder in my car. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. I never got it signed. Some people asked me if I should get it signed. I didn't want to break the cardinal rule of the credential rules in the back that no autographs. And I have it. I'll probably keep it somewhere just as a memento and nothing more than that. I know that Foley's, a popular baseball bar in Midtown Manhattan, made a request for both the laptop and the ball, but our IT department said no to the laptop. And but it's a cool place, and a lot of MLB.com people like to go there because after work and things like that in New York City. So, but it, right now it's just a memory. By next week, everything will be, even by maybe tomorrow, everything will be back to normal, and this will just be a nice odd part of the season, and we'll see what happens. But I'll probably just keep the ball, and it'll always be funny.
You definitely should. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com, Res Reporter. You handled it so well. So congratulations on that. And you're a good
dude.
And it was fun catching up with you, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Josh. Thank you.